Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley. It's the last Monday. It's actually the last week in February. The last week in February. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thought it would go that fast? Probably every single person who's ever lived through a February would probably guess that this one would go. And here it is, folks. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I want to share a story with you that I shared at a speaking engagement last week. If you were at that speaking engagement, thank you. Sterling B2B, payment processing company here in Cincinnati, Ohio, had me in to speak to their sales force as they actually their entire division as they kicked off their 2018. And the message, which I wanted to share the abbreviated version with you today on the podcast, was about success leaves clues. And you've heard that, I'm sure. If you haven't, then it's a statement that and a phrase and a thought that stayed with me for a long, long time. See, the beauty about not being a smart guy like myself, you don't have to figure stuff out. It's already been figured out. It leaves clues. It really does. Success really does leave clues. So I shared the five top clues that have impacted myself along my corporate and my entrepreneurial journey, really pretty much my entire adult life. I never had to figure things out on my own just from a blank canvas. I just had to look at what other people who did what I wanted to do, i.e. being an entrepreneur, a real estate investor, a public speaker, what they did. And I would just kind of put my own little flavor in it. And that's all you got to do. It's not all this pressure. You know, if you had to be the smartest person in the world, who would ever succeed? You know, 75% of the people in our country, here where I live in the United States, that are millionaires are self-made millionaires. And that's one of the most empowering things I'd say. That's not even one of the clues I shared, but just as a side note, that's one of the most empowering thoughts and the concepts that I've really held on to is that if three out of four people that are millionaires in the United States did it without being a trust fund baby, without having money given to them, without inheriting it, they just had to go figure it out on their own with the help of the clues that they found, that's pretty damn empowering. Wouldn't you agree with that statement? So what you need to do is look at people in your industry. What are they doing that's working? And more importantly, people that failed, what'd they do? And that's kind of what I want to share with you. Do you want to be Netflix or do you want to be Blockbuster? And of course, now in 2018, everybody would want to be Netflix, but not so fast, my friend. Let me take you back to Dateline 2000. The year was 2000. Blockbuster Video was crushing it. The mammoth in the video running industry. Nobody could even come close to their revenue. And then along was this fledgling company called Netflix, and they were kind of trying to find their way in the world. They were trying to implement this streaming, this online streaming video streaming service where, did I say the word streaming enough? This video online service where you could watch them there. Now, keep in mind, it's 2000, okay? Where were you during Y2K? Some of you listen to this show, oddly enough, you weren't even born yet. So remember all the Y2K stuff that went on, you know? Oh, my God, the world's going to end. Nothing's going to work the next day, blah, blah, blah. And the next day, everything worked fine. Everybody was in their bunker with potatoes and canned goods, and everything worked just fine. So Netflix, the CEO of Netflix at the time, it still is, Reed Hastings, went down to Dallas for a meeting with a gentleman by the name of John Antioco. And John Antioco was the CEO of Blockbuster. And he was no stranger to success. A lot of the stuff that he had touched previous in other businesses worked in like gold. And there was no reason to think he wouldn't be just as successful and pretty much already was at the head of Blockbuster. So Hastings goes to Dallas to meet with Antioco to talk about how he would like to help Blockbuster with their online streaming video service. And in return, maybe they could promote Blockbuster promoting Netflix inside of their stores. You know, the millions of stores, or probably thousands of stores they had across the U.S., tens of thousands probably, and millions and millions and millions of rentals. And Hastings pretty much got laughed out of that meeting. That was it. Thanks, but no thanks. Take care, and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Okay, so there you go. What happened? Have you ever been in a meeting where you proposed something, or maybe you thought something, and your friends or acquaintances or the person that you were meeting with at that time laughed you out of the room? Hey, look, if you've never been laughed at for an idea, you literally, and I'm not saying this as a cliche, you literally are not even trying. I cannot tell you how many of my friends and family and people who know me laughed in my face. And no problem. People don't have a problem laughing at you and your ideas. It doesn't even make them bad people. It doesn't even mean that they're doing it to harm you. It just means, like, you wanna, every day is Saturday. Do you know, I don't want to break the bed. Do you know you're bankrupt? Like, yeah, I know I'm bankrupt. Do you know you're an ex-stutter? Yeah, no, I know. Do you know you've never been paid to speak at all professionally? Yeah. You know you've had no formal speaker training. I mean, I just want to let you know, nobody's ever trained you to be a speaker, right? Right. Yeah, no, I get it all. I got all that. And I'm going to go launch a company called Every Day is Saturday. I'm going to be a speaker. And I'm going to be a trainer, an entrepreneur. And I'm going to speak on stage in front of thousands of people. Literally laughed at. And I still get laughed at. And I give people reason to laugh at me as well. Because you know why? I don't always live up to this persona that people see of me on the internet. Like, this perfect dad, perfect husband, perfect speaker. No, man, I fall just like you do. And I'm thinking how I'm going to, my next big launch or big message is going to be around that broken person that I am, that you are, that we all are, but very few of us are willing to, like, embrace that or at least talk about it. No, nowhere near build a brand around it. Nobody will ever follow you if you're broken. Really? Because all I do is share my flaws, and more and more people follow me all the time on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all over the place because they resonate with that. So Hastings got laughed out of the room. Blockbuster went back to being the number one, you know, video rental. No reason to think they wouldn't be successful until they weren't successful anymore. You know, Blockbuster filed for bankruptcy and went out of business in 2010. What happened? In that 10-year period, what happened? Well, the short version of the story is this. Blockbuster's dirty little secret was they made their most profitable part of their business. What do you think it was? What do you think the most profitable part of Blockbuster's video rental business was throughout their run atop the industry? It was the late fees. Remember that? You know? Oh, yeah, you was due back 3 days ago. You owe us $9 or whatever it was. And they would make millions and millions of dollars on their late fee, hundreds of millions of dollars each year on their late fees. And we would pay it, or we wouldn't be able to rent another video. And who wouldn't, you know, you go on a date and you drive by Blockbuster in the strip mall on the way home, you grab a video and you go home and watch it, right? That's what we did. And if you wanted to do that, you had to pay the late fees. Well, here comes Netflix, and what'd they do? They mailed you a DVD in the mail, and they said, hey, keep it as long as you want. Just keep the DVD, you know, if you want to keep it a month, keep it a month. And we'll send you another one when you mail this one back. Now, certainly had its advantages because there was no late fee involved ever, and that really was the Achilles heel that Blockbuster had. But it was also a little bit clunky because, look, you had to wait a day or two to get the DVD, and then you had to mail it back, and then, you know, it wasn't as convenient as just stopping by the store on the way home. But then they started to figure out this online streaming thing, and Blockbuster didn't, and by the time Blockbuster, the same CEO, John Antioco, went to the board and said, hey, guys, we need to invest in an online streaming solution. It was too late. Netflix had already cornered the industry, and it was going to cost Blockbuster about $250 million to implement this software, and they wanted to waive their late fees now because that really, you know, no more was going to make them money. They were going to lose about $200 million. So all in between the investment and online streaming and the loss of the late fees, it was about $500 million in revenue, and the board said no. No, we're not going to invest that kind of money. I mean, and we don't want to lose that. We don't think Netflix is going to do what you think they're going to do. And, you know, well, look, you know the story, right? Here we are. We're all binging on Netflix documentaries, movies, originals, Netflix originals. I mean, I swear to God, every time I open up Netflix, I get a notification there's a new original movie or series out there that I'm hooked on. And that's my dirty little secret. I binge on Netflix when I'm just decompressing at the end of the night. There may or may not be a glass of Merlot involved in that. And that's where we are. And that was the presentation I gave last week to this group that, hey, do you want to be Netflix or you want to be Blockbuster? Because especially within an organization There's so many people that want to say this, and I know you've said it, I've said it, people have said it. That's not the way we used to do it. Not the way we used to do it. When back in the old day, we used to be able to do that. Yeah. Well, that's a blockbuster talking right there. And let me tell you something, man. I've seen this as a sales rep, and I've seen it as a manager, and I saw it when I ran the division, and I see it when I speak to people, and I see it just in my industry as an online entrepreneur. You know, you've got lead pages, you've got ClickFunnels, you've got Entreport, you have Infusionsoft, you have Drip, you have Active Campaign, and I'm listing CRMs, autoresponders, online funnel builders. Just if people who aren't willing to adapt are going to get left out, you know? And think of the software if you're not a seasoned entrepreneur, then that's cool. But I'm just saying, imagine how hard it was 10 years ago to integrate an autoresponder with a landing page. You know, you had to build, all of this stuff was built in HTML. Guys, I'm talking less than 10 years ago, I had my product launch 6 days of Saturday in 2009. And it involved just that. It involved building out a page in HTML, integrating Infusionsoft's autoresponder. You had to go buy a script that someone had to custom make for a one-time offer. That way it would click and all the information would go to the next page. And so the credit card information, all that stuff was integrated, and all they had to do was click yes to buy. That cost thousands of dollars to do a product launch. And I'm not kidding, because and that doesn't even involve sales copywriting, which you pay $5,000 for a sales letter and all that. Now, you got lead pages, 37 a month, ClickFunnels, 97 a month, Entreport, 79 a month. All of these services, less than $100 a month, that do everything that I just described. And you could do it every day if you wanted to. Click and drag, drag and drop, all of that. So that's Netflix. Blockbuster would be the programmer who's still looking for work building out HTML pages. Hey, I'll build that for you. We can do this. It'll be really wonky. It involves a lot of code, and you got to pay me, and you'll never be able to do it yourself. And it's not fast either. I need at least a month notice. No. So wherever you are right now, whether you're in corporate, whether you're an entrepreneur, you got to be Netflix, man. You got to be ahead of everybody else. You don't need to be better. You don't need to be smart. You just got to be, let me just say this, open-minded. Does that phrase just resonate with you? Open-minded. See, when I was in sales and management, I always raised my hand. I'll do it. Hey, Sam, we have a new initiative. I'll do it. Well, you don't even know what it is yet. I don't care. You know why I don't care? Because I know you don't have a measuring tool in place, so anything would be considered progress. Anything would be considered successful. Anything would be considered creating momentum. And I know mavericks get rewarded, all right? Mavericks get rewarded in the workplace. They get rewarded in entrepreneurship. Now, I'm not saying you don't fail. I'm not saying you don't get laughed at. Mavericks get laughed at. Mavericks go broke. But mavericks get rewarded way, way better. And I get it, it's the gambler in me. I'm the craps line. I'm putting 200 behind the odds. If you don't know that, that's fine. Blackjack, roulette, whatever. I'm a gambler. I enjoy it. This whole podcast you're listening, this was a gamble. This was an incredible gamble 12 years ago, 13 years ago when I started. Everybody thought it was crazy. Hey, champion, it's Sam Crowley. In the middle of a bankruptcy. International motivational speaker. No passport, okay? It was a huge gamble. But look at how it paid off. And I'm not saying it's all been roses. You know my story. You know the challenges that I've had over the past few years. But I'm still standing, as Elton John would say. I'm still standing. Are you? Or are you just going with the flow like the dead fish? Are you just out there, that's not the way we used to do it. Back in the day, we got paid double commission if we brought in a new customer. Hey, you know what? Nobody cares, all right? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Reed Hastings figured out a way to beat freaking Blockbuster there's no way to overemphasize how big Blockbuster was back in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, guys, come on. You had the card in your wallet, the little Blockbuster card. You rented movies just like I did. Wayne Huizenga, the guy who owned the Miami Dolphins, the Florida Marlins, the guy that would own Blockbuster. You know how rich that guy was. And they failed. They failed because they didn't want to embrace change. They didn't want to accept that there could be a better way, that somebody could come in and undercut them. No late fees. Mailing a DVD? Okay, that sounds stupid. Really? You're going to stream it on my computer when I've got this dial-up Wi-Fi? 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 No such thing as Wi-Fi. There was just dial-up. You've got mail. That's all this stuff that was going on at the time, and yet Reed Hastings saw it. He saw what was going on, and he had the guts and the nads to go after Blockbuster Video, and you don't have the guts to launch your own brand and get out there and do something with it? Come on, man. I refuse to accept that. You've got greatness inside, and you know you do. You don't even have to beat up Blockbuster. You just got to beat that little voice in your head. That's your demon. That's the enemy right there, that voice in your head saying, who do you think you are? Don't you know you don't make enough money? Don't you know that you're not the foremost internet expert on? Don't you know that you not nem-dem-dem-dem? All that stuff, man. Well, let that clue right there. So remember, success leaves clues. Understand, you could be that next Netflix story. You don't got to be a billion-dollar company. How about you just bring enough income in every month to get the bills paid, a little cash in the old pocket, and finally be free? That's all you need to do. You need to be that person first and then step into something a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. But let me tell you, people have already done this. They're going to continue to do it. People in worse financial shape than you are going to continue to do it because they're not interested in who they used to be. They're not interested in tripping over their past. They're not interested in all those lame excuses. They're just interested in being free. They're just interested in adding value. They don't care what the cost of value is. They just want to add it. So go do that. Go be Netflix. Don't be Blockbuster. Oh, one more thing. Have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.